So usually I remember to look it up ahead of time, but I forgot this year. Can anyone tell me what myrrh is?
Oil.
Wait, I heard someone over here knows.
Oil from a resin.
It's used in burials. Is it like a perfume? A perfume that's used in burials. Thank you. I knew we had a few better biblical scholars than I am out there. Excellent. So it's the start of a new year and a new decade, and it seems that for this new year, the United States is on the brink of war, yet another far-flung, never-ending war for resources and power, with the threat of countless casualties on all sides. And then there is news of wildfires in Australia, raging on, bringing worries of climate change to a heightened state. And we're only 5 days into 2020, and it seems like each day there is something new to fear. So in cultural moments like this one, moments that feel all too common in the past few years, I start to hear comments from people like, "I feel helpless and I'm not sure what to do." Or, "I wonder if I'm the only one who cares or who's outraged." Or, "I'm afraid for my children and I don't know what to tell them when they catch glimpses of the news." So I am here to say that at the beginning of the year, I don't really have any answers. I do have a story to share with you, and this is the story we tell every year on Epiphany. But this year and this week, this day, it's a story that feels more necessary than ever. There was once a caravan of wise men. Legend says they were three men because of the three gifts they would later offer a young child. But it was more likely that they were a whole caravan. Scripture doesn't say it was just three. So this was a tight-knit community of philosophers, sages, astrologers, magi. And I can't say for certain, but I like to imagine that women were included in their ranks since they were a group that were not restricted by the same customs as other professions in their time. This was a spiritual community who wrestled with ideas and looked for visions and signs of what to do and how to live and where to go. This was a group of wanderers who were consulted for advice and knowledge. So this caravan of wise men and wise women was traveling west to Jerusalem, learning and observing as they went across the desert together. What they observed was a new star in the sky, a light they had never seen before. And they had questions about who this star represented and where it would lead them. They believed it would lead them to a new ruler that had just been born, a ruler that would bring them a revelation, that is, someone who would reveal God to them. When they arrived in Jerusalem, they asked everyone they met, "Where is this new king that's been born? We have come here to honor him." Now, King Herod, who was the Roman king in Jerusalem and the surrounding area, heard from his people about this newly arrived caravan and the questions they were asking. Herod cared more about power than anything else, so the thought of a new king being born somewhere made him feel very insecure. He called together his advisors and the chief priests to find out where this child was and what exactly was going on. His advisors told him that Scripture had foretold that a new king would surely be born in Bethlehem. And when Herod learned this information, he began to formulate a plan. Herod invited the leaders of the caravan to meet with him, and he feigned interest and appreciation of this newborn king. He said, "Oh, you want to pay homage to the new king? So do I, so do I." And the wise men just kind of raised their eyebrows. Because surely Herod would benefit from humbling himself in front of someone else. But it seemed unlikely that he would ever be willing or capable of doing so. Herod, missing their skepticism, asked the wise men to find the baby and then return and tell him what they had found. So the wise men and women set off again, following the star until it was straight above them in the sky. They were full of joy and anticipation as to what they were about to experience. They asked around in town until they finally found this child and his mother Mary. And when they met Mary and her son, the wise men were overcome with humility. Before doing anything else, they knelt down right where they were and they worshiped God. This was a sacred moment. Then the wise men started looking through everything they had on them, in their packs, in their bags, in their treasure chests, until they could find gifts that expressed their gratitude and wonder. So they reached into their treasure chests and they pulled out the best of what they had with them: gold, frankincense, and myrrh, an oil you use for burials. These fine resources were gifts signifying how valuable this child was to the wise men. When the caravan began their journey home, they considered the joy and humility they had experienced with Mary and her child, and they considered what Herod had told them about helping him find the baby. Now, they knew Herod's intentions were corrupt, so they disobeyed him and they took another road, going out of their way to avoid him and protect the young child and his family. So as we consider this ancient story in light of our own time and circumstances, I'm left with three questions as I ponder how I might learn from the journey of the wise men and hopefully women. The first is, what is the community I would like to travel with this year? Who will help guide me? Who will lead me in a direction away from corrupt power and toward humility and wonder? Who are the sages, the philosophers, the wise ones who I want to surround myself with as I navigate the journey of life? The wise men did not go out alone. This was a communal journey. I imagine there were disagreements along the way, but I know for certain that they needed each other for strength, for perseverance, for wisdom, and for courage. So as we begin a new year, who will we surround ourselves with? What community will we commit ourselves to as we continue our own journeys and face new challenges? The second question is, how am I called to stand up to corrupt power? The wise men did more than avoid King Herod by going home on another road. They defied his orders. They put themselves at risk of imprisonment or worse for disobeying his instructions in order to protect a child with significantly less power than they had. As we work for justice this year, what ways will we confront corruption? How will we stand up to powers that do not protect the most vulnerable among us? What are we willing to give up in order to protect others? And the third question is, how will God be revealed to me this year? What are the ways I can look for God around me, in my relationships, in my work, in my daily life? And what will I learn? How will I allow what is revealed to transform me, to humble me, to lead me to joy and wonder, or even worship? In response to this third question, I want to invite us to try something new together. So often, belonging to a church is opening ourselves up to giving. Giving our time, giving our hearts, giving our gifts to community and service to God. So I would like to start this year instead by inviting each of us to receive a gift. The same gift we gave to our children earlier, a star gift. The wise men followed the star and they knew how to read that star, to interpret its signs and meaning. The star for them was more than an astronomical guide in the sky. It was a spiritual guide. Seeing that star revealed to them something about the nature of God and something about their purpose or call in following God. Today, most of us do not read the stars in the same way, but there are still spiritual signs all around us, ideas and guides that point us to God or reveal to us something about the nature of God. So today, our ushers are going to pass out a star word to everyone here who would like one. There is more than enough for every person today. And I'll invite you to take your star word home with you and to put it someplace where you will see it regularly, on your refrigerator, taped to a mirror, in your car, tucked in a journal, taped to your ceiling. That was a great idea. Put it someplace you will actually see it and be reminded of it, not just this week, but all year long. I want to invite you to let this word be something of a guide for you in 2020. How does it appear in your life? Where is it missing? Where do you long for more of it? Who do you know that is modeling this word for you? How does this word or idea reveal something of the nature of God to you? Then next year, a year from now, in the days before Epiphany, January 3rd, Sunday, January 3rd, I'm going to ask for folks who would like to share something about what their word revealed to them the previous year. So this will be a very short reflection. It can be written or verbal, or you can even text me, and I'll remind you in December, and it is entirely optional. But I'm curious to see what difference it might make when we have something to guide us through the year. A word that is grounded in our spirituality and faith tradition, a star that shines above no matter where your journey takes us. I'm as curious for myself as I am eventually to hear from all of you. My hope is that like the wise men, we will follow our stars and allow them to guide us toward something new, toward a revelation of God's love and goodness here on earth. Regardless of where we go and regardless of how the year unfolds, I hope it leaves you with joy, wonder, and humility at the ways you find God in our world.